take that for granted. We thank the Lord for that on a regular basis, and we're glad you're here this evening. All right, we're going to have Sister Sally come back and do another song.
Amen, brother.
Give her a workout here.
Yeah.
I was going to have her just stay up here, but I knew she didn't have her, secret folder with her.
I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret the times I've trusted in His Word.
Amen.
I've seen the years go by, many days without a song. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for my Lord. I've had many dreams that vanished at dawn, but enough dreams were true, Lord, that it keeps me dreaming on. I've prayed many prayers for the answer, waited long. You've blessed me so many times, Lord,
hey. Oh,
yeah.
That it keeps me praying on. I've had many friends, they've left me one by one. But enough friends were true, Lord, that it keeps me trusting on. I've gone many days in my heart without a song. You've blessed me so many times, Lord, that it keeps me trusting on. I've had many dreams that vanished at dawn. But enough dreams were true, Lord, that it keeps me dreaming on. I've prayed many prayers for the answer, waited long. You've blessed me so many times, Lord, that it keeps me praying on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. That song's true for you.
Yes.
I don't regret any miles that I've traveled for the Lord, or because if you travel for the Lord, you travel with the Lord. Every mile that we win, He's win.
That's right.
Right.
We're going for the Lord. And he's pretty good company.
Yeah.
Amen. I had him get real a few times in the car, just me and him in the car. And it don't happen all the time, but there has been a few times that the Lord got very real, a time or two so real I had to pull over.
Amen, brother.
There's fellowship with the Lord. That's always a wonderful time. Amen. And I like it when it gets that way at church. And
amen.
Right.
It's been a while, it seemed like too long since we've had the, one of them services like that. But I like it when the Lord just comes in and begins to move, and everybody's aware that He's there, His presence is there. And people just kind of get in on it, begin to worship the Lord. And those always make for good services, and they help folks. Tonight, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. We're going to read about 15 verses there tonight, and we won't read any verses together because I'm preaching from actually several places in the chapter. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read down to verse 15 tonight. You have a Bible there with you. And Paul writing there, people of Corinth, Church of Corinth, He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens."
Amen.
"For in this we groan earnestly, desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight, and we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Thank you. May be seated. Father, we do thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask you, Lord, to bless this service tonight and all that it contains within it. For Jesus' sake, we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Paul has spoken here in Acts chapter 4, chapter 5, both linked together. If we go back to chapter 4, we read where that Paul has spoken about the sufferings of this present life. He talks about in verse 8 that we're troubled on every side. He talks about being perplexed and persecuted and all these things, and mentions our afflictions which we have. He mentions them as light afflictions. I'm sure that everyone in this room, I'm sure, at some time or another has wanted to quit or thought about quitting or did quit. But, you know, Paul, he never did quit.
Amen.
He had enough to make 10 men quit happen to him, but he never did quit.
Amen.
When you read 2 Corinthians 11, he tells us there, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice or 3 times was I beat with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, and have been in the deep, in journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weakness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, and besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul had a lot going on, and we can't identify with that. You know, most of us can't. I doubt if anybody can. Now, if we had some of them Iranian Christians or Syrian Christians here tonight, they might be able to identify with that, but we really can't. But we see that Paul never did quit. You know, you can't hardly find a place where it seemed like he really ever even got discouraged. He was just a special walk with God, I guess. He just kept going on, and if they put him in jail, he just, you know, turned it into a revival. You know, if they stoned him, he just got up after they left, pushed the stones aside, and started preaching again.
Amen.
And it just seemed like he couldn't be stopped. I wish I was like that, don't you?
Amen, brother.
I wish that I could be like that. And you know, I have been stoned. I'm sure might have been some people thought about it maybe a time or two. But I haven't been, and I guess the worst ever happened to me. You know, maybe somebody cussed you a little bit or something like that. But not a whole lot really to stop me. But I thought about Paul and how that Paul just kept on going on. And how he was faithful through those beatings and shipwrecks and the fastings and all the things that happened to him. He was faithful all the way even unto death. We know that he cut his head off. We know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he even seemed happy about that. He said, the time of my departure is hand, I'm ready to be offered.
Yeah.
He said, I know there's something laid up there for me. And not for me only, but all those that love his appearing. Now, I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, the Lord to help me. And I thought about what is it that motivated Paul? What is it that made Paul just keep on like that going on? When there were so many reasons to quit and to give up, and as there is, I guess, in everybody's life, if you really want to look at it that way. But I found them all right here in the chapter. They're all right here in what I read tonight. I find three motivating factors that kept Paul seemingly going on for God. You say, what were they? Well, there in verse 10, the Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There was the factor that Paul knew that someday we must appear before Christ. We know in verse 9 he said, whether we labor, that whether present or absent, we might be accepted of him. Now, Paul's not talking about getting up there before God and God saying, no, you wasn't good enough and you're going to go to hell. He's not talking about that at all. What Paul is talking about here is that judgment that all ever saved person will go before. And it's called here in the Bible the judgment seat of Christ. It's different than the great white throne judgment. Sometimes I hear Christians say, I dread that great white throne judgment. Well, you don't have to dread that because that's not for you. That's for lost people. But there is a judgment for us saved people. And Paul kept that in mind. He said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that word appear means more than just to show up. When you really look at that word and study it out a little bit, it carries a little bit more weight than that. What it really says is that we must appear, we must show up like we really are.
Yes.
You know, we're not always like we really are. You know, when we come to church and we all look religious, we all look spiritual, but we might not really be as we appear. Amen. But Brother Eddie, there's this thing called the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is not for salvation, it's for servants.
Yeah.
It's for those that have been saved, and the Bible tells us right here, it says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that it done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So we'll be judged for what we've done in our body for Christ since we've been saved.
Amen.
And I believe this was a motivating factor for Paul. I believe Paul thought about this more than you and I do. I believe that he kept this on his mind maybe more than you and I do. And you know, through preaching, we get this thought that we're just going to die, and if we've been saved, we're just going to heaven, and we're going to get a mansion, and it's going to be glory forevermore, right? But there's a lot more to it than that. There is some other things that's going to happen also before we get that mansion, if we believe the Bible. And one of the things that has to happen is we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. Now, this is an individual thing. We read about it in 2 Corinthians there in verse 10. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive what's done in their body. I'm not going to receive what Nathan done. He's not going to receive what I did or Brother Eddie. But every person has to answer for themselves. We look in Romans, the Bible says in Romans 14, it says over there, it talks about this same judgment, and it says every man must give account of himself to God. In other words, that was a good day for me when I read that verse, and it really took a hold. You know, you read the Bible all your life, but sometimes it don't take a hold. But that's a good day in my life when I read that verse and it took a hold. And it was like I stopped and sat up, you know, and I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to have to give account of myself to God, so I better be making my own decisions and not somebody else making them for me, because they ain't going to be there when I stand before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We must all give account of ourselves to God. You see, I believe every Christian has something to do for God. Don't you believe that? It said in Mark chapter 14 or 13, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is as a man who took a journey into a far country. He left his house to every man his work. So every man has something that they can do for God. So they're going to be individually judged. Not for your sins. Those were judged at Calvary. When Christ died and you accepted Him, that took care of the judgment of your sins as far as you going to hell. You don't have to worry about going to hell if you've been saved. But you do have to worry about standing before the Lord, and I have to worry about standing before the Lord in an individual judgment. You say, what's this judgment for? Well, it's an inspection. If you look over in 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions this and goes into detail. Verse 9, he said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's works abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, the Lord is going to inspect the work that we've done for Him. Amen? Isn't that what it said? And it said it's going to be inspected on at least three things here. Number one, on the where of our work. Where did we build? He said no man can build upon any other foundation other than what Paul had laid, and that was the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? Well, a person is not saved, they can't really do any good works. A person is not saved. I mean, they can do good works down here, but they can't do any good works that God is going to reward them for up there in heaven because they're not saved. This is only for those people that are saved. And so he says that even though we're saved, according to what I understand here, that even though we're saved, that we could still build on the wrong foundation. You say, how could you build on the wrong foundation? Well, let's just suppose that everything that I did and every sermon I preached and every labor that I did, I did it for Independent Baptist. Well, that ain't the right foundation. Amen?
Yeah,
amen. I thank God. Listen, I thank God I'm a Baptist, but I was saved before I was a Baptist.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I know I've upset somebody, but there's some Pentecostals that's going to heaven. I know somebody might get upset about it, but there's some Methodists that's going to heaven. Amen. There's some people in a lot of these denominations. I won't say all of them because some of them don't even teach salvation, but
I think there's some that even though they're wrong on other things, they still know enough about Christ and salvation that they can be saved. Amen. But what I do, I'm not supposed to do for the Baptist. I'm supposed to do for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I'm not doing it for the association. I'm not doing it for a board. I'm not doing it for anybody else. And you shouldn't do what you do for Bethel Baptist Church. Thank God for Bethel Baptist Church. I'm glad you're a member of Bethel Baptist Church. I'm glad I'm a member of Bethel Baptist Church. But what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we do it for any other reason, it might not turn out so good. And so he talks about the foundation there. And then he talks about the why of our work. He said it's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Why did we do it? Amen. That's a big factor, isn't it? Did we do it because we love Jesus? Or did we do it because we wanted somebody else to know we'd done it? We wanted somebody else to see us when we'd done it. If that's the basis for what we're doing, we'll get rewarded down here. You say, how are you going to get rewarded down here? Well, people's going to pat us on the back, say, you've done a good job, and we've seen you out there, and all this stuff. But when we get up there before the Lord, Brother Eddie, if our motive is not right, if we didn't do it for the Lord, then we're going to suffer loss.
Right.
That's what he's saying here. You notice he said, he talks about men's works, and he says gold, silver, precious stone. And then he says wood, hay, and stubble. You know what the difference of them is? One of them is all below ground. One of them's all hid. And the other's all above ground. The precious stones, the gold, all that, that's underground. But the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. That's all above ground. Amen. You see, we got this old rotten Adamic nature, and even though we're saved, there's a whole lot of that in us that wants everybody to know what we've done. Amen. But when we tell what we've done for the wrong reason, Brother Eddie, one day before the Lord, that's just going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and that's going to go up in smoke. Amen.
Amen.
So there's the why of the work, but then there is what happens to our work. He said, if any man's works abide, he'll receive reward. But if any man's works are burned up, he said that he'll be saved, but he won't have nothing, no reward for it. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord's going to inspect all that. Amen. Yeah. You know, we don't think about this stuff a lot, but it's true. It's in the Bible. And one day we're going to all, every one of us that's saved, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And everybody stands before a judgment, but not everybody stands before a judgment seat of Christ. You have to be saved to do that. You say, why is that so important, Brother Rick? Well, the Bible mentions five crowns that every Christian can get. There may be more than that. There may be other rewards, but the Bible talks about five different crowns that Christians have a possibility of getting one of those crowns. Amen. And you say, well, I don't want a crown. I just want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven, get in my mansion, be there forever, and that's all that I'm concerned about. Well, I want you to know that's not the right attitude.
Amen.
Amen. You see, we should all want a crown. You say, why should I want a crown? You know, why should I want a crown? Well, you should want a crown because the Bible says one of these days that we're going to take those crowns off and we're going to place them at Jesus' feet. Amen.
Amen.
Bad illustration, but I can't think of any other. Bad illustration, but have you ever went to a birthday party and you were invited and you went and you got there and you noticed everybody had gifts but you? Didn't that make you feel bad?
Yes, sir.
And you begin to scrounge around and try to figure out, maybe find an envelope, put a dollar in or something like that, you know, run out somewhere and pick up something. But you felt really bad because you didn't have anything to give that person on that celebration. Well, You see, one of these days when this life's over, we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And I hope that I can have at least a crown to lay at His feet. Amen. Because He wore that crown for me.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Amen. He put that crown of thorns upon His head.
Yes. Yeah, it is, bro.
Yes.
And I hope that I can have a crown to lay down at His feet.
Amen.
You say, well, it don't matter. It'll matter then.
Oh, yeah.
It'll matter then when you realize that, when I realize, you realize all that Christ has done for us, the suffering, the torment, the agony, and all that Christ has done for us.
Right.
And then we've done nothing for Him. Brother Eddie, I can't help but think about old Cecil Morgan.
Right.
And old Cecil got saved. I won't go through the whole story. But me and Eddie went to see him one day, and we got there, the doctor was coming out as we was going in. And we went in, Cecil was crying, he'd done been saved at that time. And we said, we thought, you know, it was bad. And we began to try to encourage him, say, Cecil, you know, the doctors don't know, you may live longer than what they say. And Cecil, he said, it's not that. He said, it's not that. He said, what it is, he said, God's let me live down here, I don't know, 60, 70 years, or how old he was. He said, God's let me live down here. I spent most of my life as a drunk, and he said, I've done nothing for God. I've got saved at the very end of my life, and I'm going home to be with the Lord, and I'm not going to have one single reward when I get there, he said. And Brother Eddie said, Cecil, he said, have you got any water? And he said, yeah, there's water there on the table. He said, the next nurse that comes in here, he said, you pour her a cup of water and you give it to her in the name of Jesus. And he said, the Bible said, if you'll do that, he said, you'll have a reward when you get to heaven. You know what old Cecil did that? Amen? Yes, he did. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's a factor in Paul's life. He kept that before him. I've got to stand before the Lord. You know, when you really realize that and stop and think about it, it'll make you stop and want to do your best for the Lord.
That's right. Keep that mind in you, yeah.
And then, here in verse 11, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. No doubt this will be a scary time, even for us believers. Amen. People think, people think about having to stand before Christ, and we know we're not going to hell if we've been saved. We know we're not going to hell. And I guess the only little bad part about this whole trip to heaven and getting to heaven and all that is that one little place where we got to stop at the judgment seat of Christ. And we got to one by one stand before Him.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, I don't know. It's going to take a long time. We got all eternity.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord's not in any hurry, really.
Amen, brother.
He'll take all the time He needs to do this thing here. But I want you to think about this. I know that as a Christian, we're not worried about going to hell. But when you realize that we have to stand before Jesus Christ that gave His life for us, and we have to stand before Him at this judgment seat, and we got to stand there all alone, it's going to be a scary time.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Not scary in the sense of, like I said, of being lost, but just scary in the sense of the person that we're standing before.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Amen.
You see, you've never stood before.
Yeah. Right.
A perfect person.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then somebody will let something slip and they'll say something they shouldn't say, and this don't happen much anymore. People don't have that much respect anymore. But used to, it happened a lot. People let something slip and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I shouldn't have said that. You're a preacher. I'm sorry. Well, that's respectful and you appreciate that, but you know you and me ain't much.
Right.
Amen. We're just sinners. Dirt bombs. And we've been saved by the grace of God. Thank God some of us are saved sinners, but we're still just sinners.
Amen.
Amen. But I want you to think about, I've had to go up before the judge a couple of times. I didn't rob a bank. I didn't shoot nobody or anything like that. But I had to go up there sometimes on some legal matters. And I tell you, just to go in there, there's something about just going in that courtroom.
Right?
Even though you know you're not going to jail, you ain't doing anything like that, it still makes you a little nervous.
Amen. Think about standing before the Lord. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Eddie, sometimes if we got some people to back us, you know, every now and when people's got, I've been asked to go to the court with people. They say, well, you go up there with me. And they was in trouble, and I went and sat up there with folks and stuff like that. And they felt a little better, I guess, because I was there, even though I couldn't do anything. They felt a little better. And a lot of times down here, you know, we go to something like that, and we got our mom and dad maybe to go with us, or a brother, or a Christian brother, or somebody go with us, and it seemed like it helped us a little bit. But, you know, this thing here, the Bible says that we got to go it alone. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And the Lord ain't going to say, you ain't going to be able to say it, I ain't going to be able to say it. Well, ask Brother Eddie. He knew me. Ask him. He knows what I did. And you ain't going to be saved. Just ask Brother Rick. He knows what kind of person I was. See, the Lord don't have to ask anybody.
That's right.
Because the Lord knows. That's what's so scary about it. You remember what I said? We must all appear before Him the way we really are. Amen. The way we really are. But you know, the greater thought here, I believe I'm right on this. I'm preaching it this way anyway, so you preach it how you want to preach it when you preach. But I believe I'm right on this. The greater thought here is not us being afraid of standing before the Lord, though I believe that will happen. I believe the greater thought here is thinking about those people that they're not just at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be at that great white throne judgment, and they are going to be lost, and they are without hope. And I think Paul's saying, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing what these people are going to be like when they get there and when they stand like that, I believe Paul is saying that motivates me to keep on trying to win people to God.
Amen.
I don't want to see people go to hell, do you? Let's see some folks the other day. I love them both dearly, and I worked with them for years. And we went to see them the other night on Thursday night. We've been to see them a lot. Some of you've been with me to see them. And I don't want them to go to hell.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to go to hell.
Amen, Brother Rick.
But we went to see them, and you know, it just really broke my heart to see the way they were. Amen. And to know that one day, Brother Nathan, that unless they get saved, to know that one day they're going to go to hell. You say, how many times have you been to see them? Probably some of them 20 times. You say, why do you keep going? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Knowing what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You pray for them. We tried to get them to come to this tent meeting this week. Maybe this will be the week. Amen. But think about a lost person standing before the Lord. Great white throne judgment. No hope. Alone without God. Standing there before the Lord. You know, the Bible says in the First Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about people that, you know, sue their brother, takes them to court. And he talks about that, addresses that. But then in the next chapter there, he says, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? Said, they're going to judge angels. You said, what's that mean, Brother Rick? I don't really understand all that. But I think it may mean something like that somehow or another, that at that great white throne judgment, you know how a courtroom has jurors and has a box there where people are at. And I think it might mean something like once we get through with our judgment, once we get ours out of the way, we get that bad part behind us. And then when it comes time for that great white throne judgment, that we're all going to be there.
Amen.
And we're going to all be like spectators watching what's
Amen.
Going on. And I think that's what it means. I know the Lord does the judging.
Oh, yeah.
Because God has appointed a day when He'll judge the world by that man.
That's right.
I know I'm not sentencing anybody to be saved or lost. That's in the Lord's hands. Yeah. But I believe that I might be there as a witness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I used to have a book. I logged it out and it didn't come back. And I wish I had it because I wanted to show you tonight so you'd understand what I was saying. But it's a book of drawings of revelations.
And in that book of drawing of Revelations, it starts in chapter 1 and it gets drawn out. It goes all the way through to the Revelations 20. Years ago, I went with Jimmy Hood to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I went with him, Brother Eddie, to a missions conference down there. And he had a boy in his church that was about 14 years old that he'd got from Florida. And the boy was an arsonist. He'd burnt down several buildings. And I think he even tried to burn Jimmy's down before he got out of there. But him and another boy, they're both teenagers, they went with us. And we all stayed in the same room. And that night when we got back from the meeting, them two boys had that book that I'm talking about, and they had it laying down there on the floor, and they were turning at it, and they were looking at them pictures, Eddie, and I was laying on the bed, about half watching them, about half talking to Jimmy, another preacher from New York, and I'm laying there, but I'm about half listening to what they say. And they come over there to that page where it's just like I described it. The Lord's sitting there on that judgment chair. There is a man, you know, it's a lost man, and he's bound. He's there before the Lord in the rags of his own righteousness. And there's that great big looking choir of witnesses there. And that one boy said, "Wonder what all that is?" And that other boy said, "Well, sir, that's the Lord there on that throne." He said, "You know, that's the Lord." And he said, "That other man there said, he's a lost man." He said, "You can tell that by the way he's there by himself and he's standing there before the Lord." And he said, and all these people back here, he might ask Jimmy or Brother Lou from New York, he might ask them, "What's all them people there?" And they might have said, "Well, that's the witnesses, that's the church." But what that boy said, I'll never forget it.
Bless him.
That boy said, "Wouldn't it be something if when they got through judging that man and the Lord said, sorry, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're lost for all eternity. Sorry, I never knew you." He said, "Wouldn't that be something if that's somebody you knew? And the Lord pointed to you and said, you come out here. And you bind him hand and foot. And you cast him out into outer darkness. Because you never knew witness to him."
Oh, man.
You say, "Is that the way it is, Brother Rick?" I don't know, but boy, that's a thought, isn't it? That is a thought. You know, if you witness to him, the Lord might say, "Eddie, can you witness to this guy here?" And you might have to nod in affirmative and say, "Yes, I did." And he might say, "Brother Nathan, did you give this guy a track here at work?" And you say, "Yes, sir, I sure did." You see, the Lord's got his witnesses. He's got all the records and everything.
Right, right.
Wouldn't that be something, Jack? Wouldn't it be something, some of them people that... There's about two that really stand out in my mind that the Lord put on my heart. You know, there's witnessing, and then there's the Lord putting on your heart to witness. And I know about two, Brother Gordon. God put it on my heart.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
Yeah. To witness to him and to go see him. And I was going to, Jack. But when I got there, it didn't go.
Oh,
I didn't go when the Lord said, "Go." And wouldn't that be something if the Lord turned around there on that day and he said, "Rick, you come on down here and you bind them hand and foot. I sent you down there to talk to them, tell them about me, and you didn't go. So you just bind them hand and foot and cast them out in the outer darkness."
Oh, me.
You say it's that way, I don't know. But the thought of that has haunted me enough that it has got me out of bed. It has got me in the car. It has drove me across town.
Amen.
Because I don't want it to be that way. Because see, when you stand before the Lord, oh, they can talk down here, can't they? They can talk, and you can talk, and I can talk. Before we got saved, we had the excuses and all that. But according to the Bible, there's a parable Jesus told about a marriage supper. People were invited to come. Lord, in that day, the person having a marriage thing, you provide all the garments and everything. You didn't have to buy nothing. They provided all. But in that parable there, it said there's a man come in and he didn't have a garment on.
That's right.
Nobody else seemed to notice it or say anything about it until the king got there.
That's right.
And then the king said, "How did you get in here?"
He's speechless.
Without a garment on.
Yeah.
And the Bible says he was speechless.
speechless. Have you ever been put in a situation where there was no way? You was guilty, you was condemned, and there wasn't nothing to say. That's the way it'll be.
Yes.
Knowing the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
I believe that they'll be speechless at that point, but it looks like, Brother Nathan, when they're bound hand and foot, every hood is, that does the binding, and they're cast out into outer darkness. Have you ever failed? Have you ever slipped off a building or failed along the way? Automatically, when that happens, you scream. You scream. The Bible says, it talks about people in Hebrews 10 that have done despite under the spirit of grace.
That's right.
That have walked through the blood of Christ and counted it an unholy thing.
Yeah.
And the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. One day I fell into the hands of a loving God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
It was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, brother. That's right. He fixed me.
If you think about an angry God, so what's God so angry about? Only this, he gave his son. To take our sins, to be beaten, crucified, mistreated, mistried. And he done all that so that nobody ever have to go to hell. And then sent the Holy Spirit to give you the story and give us the Bible to put the gospel in it. And called preachers to preach the story to go out, and missionaries and individual Christians to get the gospel out. Done all of that, you see. Just like that parable. He sent them out in the streets and hedges and highways and begged them to come in. And they wouldn't come. You think God ain't going to be angry?
Sure is.
If my son, if Scott or Corey, if my son, if they knew your life was threatened and they knew that you was going to be, you was going to be murdered tonight. And I said, Scott, you and Corey go over there to Bill's and make sure that they don't do nothing to Bill. And they went over there, and when they got there, somebody showed up. And Scotty said, you ain't going to touch Bill. If you're going to do anything, he said, you're going to have to do it to me. Did they kill my son? And I went over there, and Bill acted like he didn't even care what my son gave.
Right.
I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be angry. God is going to be an angry God.
Yes.
To folks that have rejected his gift of salvation, have rejected the perfect Son of God that he gave Eddie.
Amen.
To die for our sins. And when they bind them hand and foot, and they know that it's all over. It's all over. No appeals. No more trials. No more nothing. It's all over. And they hurl them out into outer darkness. There shall be screaming, failing, and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of my family done that way.
Bless him, Lord.
I don't want to see any of my friends done that way. I don't want to see anybody done that way. And when we think about that, as I believe Paul did, I believe it was a motivating factor. And even though all those things happened to him, he just kept on trying to win people to God, win people to Christ, kept on preaching, kept on starting churches, kept on doing missionary work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's that factor that we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's that factor here of the terror, knowing the terror of the Lord. Look down in verse 14 and 15 tonight, closing. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we first judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's that love factor.
Right.
Can I tell you a greater motivating factor than fear?
Yes.
Is love.
That's right.
You know that love will make you do more than fear will make you do. You realize that? You see, love was the motivating factor that made Adam partake of that forbidden fruit.
That's right.
He wasn't deceived. Eve was. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
But you see, God had made him that woman, and he loved that woman so much that even though she had done wrong, he was willing, knowing that he was going to die with her. But he loved his wife so much.
Amen.
He was willing to die for her.
Yeah.
You see, he's a type of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. The Bible said Christ loved the church, which is his wife. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
That's right.
He knew what he's getting into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He knew about the nails. He knew about the trial. He knew about the whipping. He knew about the spitting in the face. He knew about all of that. You say, why did he do it? He loved you and me.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That was the motivating factor.
That's right, Brother Rick.
That brought him from up there, a perfect world, that brought him from up there down here. Yeah. Why did he do it? He did it because he loved you and me.
Amen.
Amen.
It's true.
Motivated Adam. I love that story. I love to preach from it. That harlot woman in 1 Kings 3. Mm-hmm. They were harlots. They had a baby. One of the harlots, her baby died. So she claimed the other harlot's baby and said it was hers. They took the matter to the king. And it was the motivating factor of love that caused that mother to say, no, just go ahead and give her my child. I don't want you to cut it in half. Just go ahead and give it to her. It was love that made that harlot do that. Amen.
Amen.
What it was.
That's right.
Love will motivate you to do something.
Yeah, it will.
Yes,
that you wouldn't normally do.
I could be a father.
The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Amen.
Do you know what the Bible says? It says that we were enemies.
Right.
And alienated from God.
That's right.
It didn't say that Christ laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies.
Right.
His enemies. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Scarcely for a righteous man some would die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Christ died for us.
Amen.
While we were yet unlovable. I tell you, we're still unlovable.
That's right, brother.
Thank God he loves us. Three things here I want you to see. I talk about motivating factors. Why should we keep on serving God? Why don't we quit? Others have. Why don't we quit serving God? There's more that quit than there is that didn't quit. Just like in these churches around. Why have you and I quit? Why did we show up tonight? I'd like to think that, Brother Eddie, it's because of that factor that we've realized that one day we got to stand before the Lord.
Amen.
And we realize that we're going to be rewarded someday. We want something to give to the Lord. And I believe that it's because that we believe in hell. We believe people go there. And we believe that we need to warn people and try to win people to God.
Amen.
Amen. And then, I'd like to think tonight it's because we love the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Christ died that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9 said, herein was manifested the love of God. Amen.
That's right.
That Christ died for us that we might live. It says that we might live through Him.
Amen.
You know why I got life tonight? Through Him.
That's right.
Through Him. That's where this spiritual life comes from.
That's right.
Through Him. Amen.
That's right.
And I realize that tonight. I hope you realize that tonight. That tonight, if it wasn't for Christ, we'd be lost and going to hell.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
This spiritual life we have, no matter how good it is or how bad it is, we wouldn't have it tonight if it wasn't for Him.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. The Bible says that Christ died for us in 1 Thessalonians 5:10. And it said He died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him.
That's right.
Not only did Christ die that we might live through him, but Christ died that we might live with him.
That's right. That's right.
With him. He loved us so much that he wanted us to live with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
What are you saying? You know, when it should, when people get married, there should be more than just an average everyday love there.
Amen, Brother Rick.
When people get married, amen, because it's a type of Christ of the church. And when you marry somebody, it's supposed to be that you love them so much. Matter of fact, you even say it when you get married, and the preacher say, until death do us part.
That's right.
And you'll say yes until death do us part. But when you marry that person, you do that because, you know, you think so much of that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with
them. Amen.
You love that person. The rest of our life's about 70 years, 80 years. Christ loved you and me so much.
Amen.
Yeah,
that he wanted to spend all eternity with us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 He loved us so much, Brother Eddie, that he wants us to spend all eternity with him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If he gave me life through him, and if he loves me so much that he wants me to live with him, look at verse 15. Mm-hmm. And he died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him.
Amen.
Which died for them and rose again. Christ died for us that we might live for him.
Amen.
Amen. You ever hear somebody say, I tell you, I love my husband, I just live for my husband.
Praise the Lord.
Or I love my wife, my kids, I just live for my wife and kids. Well, that's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. Amen.
Yeah.
But Christ loved us so much so that we could live for him. You see, somehow or another, people, I'm not saying they're not saved, but people that say they are saved and they don't want to live for the Lord, they just ain't never got the big picture yet.
That's right.
They ain't never somehow or another, you know, even scratched the surface of what he did for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And if he gave his life for me,
yeah. Ransom.
Is it too much for him to ask us to give our life to him?
Yes.
Right. Amen.
You see, our God ain't like other gods.
No.
You see, Muhammad, their God asked them that they might die for their God.
Right.
Our God died for us.
That's right.
Amen.
That we might live for him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Someone said there's only one life and it soon will pass. And only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
They never quote the other part of that. It says, there's only one life and it soon will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. But at the end of my life, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life burns out for thee.
Amen.
It's an old story and I'm done with it tonight. I read it years ago. I just started preaching and I read it in a Christian periodical. I never forgot it. But it said back in the times when things were different, we didn't have the means we got now. But it said there's this couple that had a little girl. And neither one of them at the time believed in God. And they had this little girl, and they worked hard to make sure this little girl never believed in God.
Right.
But one day the little girl, they moved to a new place, and unbeknown to them, they moved right next to a rescue mission. The woman had since accepted the Lord, but the man never did. And he didn't want the little girl to know nothing about God. And one day that little girl was playing out in the yard, and she heard music, and she followed that music, and she wound up at a rescue mission looking in the screen door. And it said the workers at the rescue mission saw the little girl and said, honey, come on in with us. And said, she said, what is this? He says, a church. And we tell people about Jesus. And she said, who's Jesus? He said, well, just come on in. They come in, they sat her right on the front row, and they preached John 3:16 and the love of God and how Christ loved people and died for people and explained it. The altar call, the little girl came forward weeping and accepted Christ as her Savior. She talked a while and then she went home and she was so happy. She ran. The story said she ran most of the way home. And she run through the yard and into the house. And she said, "Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy." Said, "I found the Lord. I found Jesus."
Yeah.
And the daddy was so infuriated with the fact that she had found the Lord. Before he even thought it, he grabbed the little girl and slung her around and said, "Don't never use that name in here again. Don't never use that name." And a few days later, the little girl took pneumonia. And the story said that they called the doctor in and made house calls in. The doctor came and the little girl was bad and he went in the room. And he come out and he said that the little girl's not going to make it. Said she's got pneumonia and it's took a turn for the worst and she's not going to make it. Daddy's sorry now for what he did.
Yeah.
And they said, "Can we see her?" He said, "Yeah, come on back in." They went in and they stood there with that little girl. And they said, "Honey, is there anything we can do?
Bless him, Lord.
We'll do anything for you. We're sorry. I'm sorry for what happened. We'll do anything for you. Honey, is there anything we can do?" And the little girl said, "Daddy."
Yeah.
Said, "You know that dress I had on when
I
come in the other night and you got so mad and you slapped me? And you know that little dress I had on?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Would you go get it?" He said, "Honey, that dress has got some blood spots on it.
Yeah.
And it's torn. I'm sorry." And she said, "I know that, Daddy." But she said, "Jesus is
brother."
And said, "He spilled his blood for me."
Yes, he did.
Woo! And I would be waving that little dress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And say, "Jesus, I did something for you
out of Malcolm Lee's protected place.
I want to do something for Jesus."
Amen, brother.
"He done something for me, Eddie."
Amen.
"I want to have something when he comes to say,
yeah,
done something for you."
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, tonight for these who have come out tonight. Lord, as we often say, that these folks here, what we call the cream of the crop, folks come back on Sunday night, love the Lord. But I know even the cream of the crop sometimes feels like falling in the towel and giving up. Lord, we need to hear about these motivating factors tonight.
Yes.
So we can keep going on just a little bit, Father. Because you are coming, Lord. It looks like it may not be as long as it has been. But I pray you'll help us, Lord, to stand true and be faithful to our Lord. And what life we have left, we live it for you. Because you gave all the life you had for us. Lord, stir our hearts and help us tonight. And if there's somebody tonight like that little girl, I pray they get saved tonight, know the joy of the Lord. Yes. Go down the road knowing the joy of Christ's salvation. God, have your way tonight in my heart and in every heart. And we thank you for the visitation of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand with you, Lord, please.
Thank you. Father, thank you for that message.
Amen.
But it just been a couple of weeks ago, I was standing in the parking lot at work after I got out. I was talking to a friend of mine. We discussed that very thing. Told him, I said, you know, one of these days we're going to have to stand before him. I said, I'm pretty sure I'm right. He said, well, I forgive myself for my sin. I said, well, you know, I said, he said, don't you think God forgive me if I forgive myself? I said, what do you think? Because I've learned from you, you know, just answer a question with a question, you know.
Right.
But we discussed that for a long time, you know, and before I was done, he was crying.
Amen.
You know, it's just a blessing how God works.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Greg. Amen. Somebody else have their hand.
Yeah, Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, and he showed great mercy.
Amen.
I thank him. It makes me love him even more. I realize how undeserving I was of being forgiven and being saved. And it seemed like he dropped a whole truckload on me that day. And I never got over it. I don't know how anybody could ever get over it. It's just like it just happened. But I was up on the square for the day, and I was holding signs up there. Of course, you watch people come by, and they'd shake their heads. One thing really stood out today was a Jackie. He handed a tract to someone in a car, and there were two people in the car, a man and a woman, just having me hand the track, they come by me, and he was trying to, the guy was trying to give the track to the woman driving, she was saying, and you know, it's sad that, that God reached, I guess, so greatly in love, and yet gets so little in return, but I'm glad he was still willing to drink that bitter cup. Appreciate the message tonight.
Yes, sir.
Wish the whole world would run to him and get to know him.
Amen.
All right, anybody else tonight? Word of praise, yes.
Brother Rick, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul, and I want to thank the Lord for this message tonight.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for his loving me.
Amen.
I was saved when I was 12 years old, and I've tried to serve God, and yet now that I'm 67 almost, I stop and think I haven't done much for him at all.
Bless.
And I'm sorry for that, and I know that I'll stand accountable for that. I wish I'd done more. It seems like my life now is just a waste because I didn't do much for him at all.
Bless you.
But I just want to thank him for that great love that he's given me.
Great love.
For loving me enough that he saved my soul and he died for me. And I just want to thank him tonight and let him know if I loved him more, I would serve him better. But I do love him.
Yeah,
and I thank God for the love that he's placed in my heart.
Yes, amen. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. I like that. Mm-hmm. I loved him more, I'd serve him better.
Yeah.
That's a good thought, amen. We're glad, and on the other side of that, I want to say, if God takes note of somebody giving a cup of cold water that was free in that day, it costs nothing. If God takes note of that, you've probably done a lot more than you realize you have done. Amen. Some people did more in the last 2 or 3 years of their life than they did in the whole 60-70 years of their life.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else tonight? For the testimony of the Lord. Yes.
First of all, I want to apologize to you, and I want to apologize to my Christian family for not being here this morning. My daughter called and asked if I would go to church with her and her dad. And I said, sure. I went. And I was brokenhearted. I've never experienced anything like that. But I don't want to ever go there again.
Sure.
And I'm sorry that I did that. But it was for a lesson to me.
Sometimes it is.
Yes. Well, I appreciate my church family. And
amen.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. I know there's other churches better than this church, I'm sure, in a lot of ways. There's a lot of churches as good as this church. I thank God for all the good churches. But there is some places I wish I could take some of y'all. I want you to come back.
Right, right.
I'd like to take you just for a time or two, and
yes.
I thank you more appreciate
it.
Yes. Amen.
What
to
God's
that.
Done for you here.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? Yes, Mary.
Amen.
I know it was rough when I was growing up and everything, but I'm just so thankful that he held on to me.
Amen.
I didn't deserve him.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
True.
Yeah. Never leave.
I want to do more for my church.
Bless her, Lord. Bless her.
Ask me to help in any way.
Bless your heart.
I feel bad if I don't. I feel like I've lost my salvation because I don't, and I know I can't move that, but I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
I just want my church family.
Bless you.
And I don't want the devil to defeat me in any way of helping anybody that needs help. So please, I know I've got a lot of faults.
Bless you.
And I know the Lord's been working on them. And I thank you guys for everything that you've done.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you.
Bless you, Mary. Bless your heart. All right, anybody else tonight for the testimony tonight for the Lord? All right, if all hearts are clear tonight, we're going to dismiss. Let's bow our heads for dismissal prayer tonight. If I could have dismissal prayer tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Larry if he would dismiss us the word of prayer, please.
Our kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message tonight, yes, and the messenger. Lord, we pray your blessings upon each individual that's here tonight, each according to their own need. Lord, we realize as we take inventory according to your word tonight that we're all destined for hell. Mm-hmm. Lord, that we are predestinated for heaven when we answered that call.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, that when you called us, you justified us and you glorified us. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough, you're willing to lay off the royal robe and put on a fleshly robe, come to this old sinful world and walk up Calvary's Hill,
mm-hmm,
and become a propitiation for our sins and our penalty. And Lord, we pray you and thank you for use of your honor and glory alone to be used by you till you call each one of us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.